This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our podcast on the recap of the 2018 ALAS Cybersecurity Conference. We're very excited to be with you here today. My name is Brian Donato. I am with Voice Aid or Seymour and Peace, where I am the CIO. And I have a wonderful panel here today, and we'll go ahead and go around and do some introductions.
My name is Dean Savino. I am the CIO at Fenimore Craig, a Southwest law firm headquartered in Phoenix.
Hi, my name is Jim McHugh. I'm with the Rohde Law Firm in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We have about 75 attorneys. We're just regional within the state of New Mexico.
And hello, I'm Mark Holmes. I'm the Chief Information Officer for Steptoe & Johnson P, LLC out of West Virginia. We're a law firm of over 300 attorneys based across six states.
Well, thank you, everybody. So we're here to talk about the ALAS Cybersecurity Conference from 2018. It might be helpful to tell people a little bit about what ALAS is. And reading from their website, ALAS is the country's largest lawyer-owned mutual, insuring more than 210 premier law firms with over 62,000 lawyers located around the world. So what is useful about ALAS is they provide malpractice insurance and a number of other types of insurance. And they thought that they had probably a very good position to bring people together to talk about cybersecurity. And they were able to bring 228 attendees, including firm administrators, general counsel, risk managers, and IT professionals, to attend this conference. And it was really a very interesting conference. And Jim, I think you're going to tell us a little bit more about, you know, the point and the purpose from your point of view.
Well, I think the main purpose of this event is being a professional malpractice insurance co-op. We're all owners of ALAS, and the members are. And it's very important to us to make sure we're all on the same page on security and risk management. And this is actually the second conference they've had that's focused on cybersecurity. There was one in Atlanta in 2016, and then this year in 2018 in DC. And the purpose is to encourage members to adopt best practices in security, make sure we're managing both risk management and the technical aspects of that, and getting a good perspective of what everybody should be doing and what at what point we are in the security path. The people that go are both IT security experts, IT people, the risk managers within the firm, and also you'll see some firm administrators as well. Yeah. And, you know, you have a wide range of firm sizes. We're about 75 attorneys, and I think some of the bigger firms are over 1,000. So it's got a wide range of law firm size. One thing personally I get out of the ALAS conference is it really gives you an idea of how far along you are in your security program versus the other firms that are with the same insurer. And I think it's really helpful to talk to your peers about that. There's a number of sessions. They start out with a couple keynotes. There's roundtable sessions that are broken down by job types and firm size and more general ones. And then they have specific sessions on topics. I know everybody went to a number of sessions. What did you get the most out of ALAS conference, Mark?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. You know, right out of the gate, the conference began with a really good panel of CIOs and CSOs talking about data loss prevention. They shared some best practices. They talked about using five steps of data loss prevention: understand your data, classify your data, monitor your data, protect the data, and then use the information you gather through that process to put it back into that program to improve the program. So it's really a never-ending continual improvement cycle. One thing I thought was interesting, they talked about tools that are available that now monitor and track user behavioral analytics. So you're looking much further than just how many documents did someone download, or what I would consider reactionary to more proactive types of review and monitoring of your information assets. Another really good panel that we heard, one of the keynote speakers was Michael Daniel. He was with President Obama's Cybersecurity Task Force, and he reinforced something that I try to talk about all the time, anytime I talk about cybersecurity, and that it's not just a technical problem. Cybersecurity in any organization, be it a law firm, healthcare, financial firm, it's really a cultural issue. Michael looked at it and said, this is just another business risk, and you can use all the same tools that you currently use to manage your business risks, to manage your cybersecurity threats. It comes down to changing how people think about it, how people look at it, how people incorporate it into what they do every day. One of the things I like to get across to the firm and to any organization I work with is that cybersecurity has to become a part of what you do. It can't just be some extra thing that gets added on to the end of everything. So it seems like another laborious, oh, IT just wants to lock us down and IT just wants to take this away. No, it's really a cultural issue and a workflow issue within the firm that all the way from your managing risk partner, you know, to your managing partners, to your associates, to every staff member that you have in the firm. Everyone has to take it seriously, and it's everyone's problem, not just an IT problem. So I thought that you did a really good job presenting that. And I know most of the people, almost all the people in attendance felt the same way and probably felt akin to that presentation. So I don't know, Jim, that was just a couple of things that I pulled out of it that I thought were really valuable.
Yeah, I got a lot about out of that one in particular. Another thing I really enjoyed were the group discussions, and along that theme of security just being important to every member of your firm, the group discussions that included the risk managers, I think it really solidified that we're generally both on the same page that these, you know, you don't have risk management in one corner and cybersecurity in another. They're all tied together. So I enjoyed those quite a bit. We had about three of those group discussions. And as we went through the conference, some of the sessions we saw kind of tied into that and were good topics for discussion. One thing that we did touch on a lot, I thought that was interesting, and they actually provided some documentation on what to use afterwards were international travel policies. And I thought some of the pointers they gave for, you know, which countries were more of a concern, what firms should be doing with their traveling computers and smartphones and stuff like that were pretty useful. Another session I really enjoyed was the GDPR session. I know everybody on this call at least has probably read about 80 articles on GDPR and probably been on 15 webinars, but a gentleman from a UK firm called Legal Risk LLP, Frank Maher, kind of led a session on that. And I thought he did a very good job of tying everything together. And I kind of came away with about three takeaways on that. Being a small firm with no EU presence, probably at some point I kind of felt like, well, does this really apply to me or not? And I felt like to some extent it does. I think you can be subject to GDPR if you do business or have a presence in the EU, which we don't. But you can also be subject if any of the personal information you're holding or gathering or processing is from an EU resident at the time you acquire it. So to some small extent, that does apply to us. And it made me realize even more than ever that it was important to focus on that a little bit in the last few months. And another thing I got away from that session was a lot of the suggestions for GDPR or requirements for GDPR really are based on best practices, and it's something that we should probably all be doing to some extent anyway. And I also got the fact that, or the idea that the regulations they're talking about there are probably going to eventually come here. And considering this last Facebook interview with the Senate and House, I think maybe it'll be sooner than later. A few actions we took, since we don't really have an EU presence and don't do business there, is for marketing, we tried to identify all the EU parties within clients and other parties. We identified who we have in our accounting and conflict system. And for our business intake, we're trying to identify EU people coming in. And another thing we're kind of considering is down the road, we're going to need to move to a closed DMS. So that was probably my two or three favorite sessions and what I got from the conference.
Well, Jim, I think you missed a very important takeaway from GDPR. I think we all learned that GDPR is a lot more interesting if somebody with a British accent explains
exactly.
And to, you know, add on to what you were saying, I think GDPR, as well as all of the privacy regulations, really are forcing the information governance conversation into all of our firms, because it's about what you have and what people have access to. And part of the GDPR is giving consumers the ability to erase themselves or, you know, their information from our systems. And so it's about information governance and what we do. And I'm sure a lot of us on the call already have these policies and things in place to do it, but have we really put them into effect, and are we enforcing them? We might be doing it on paper, but not electronic. And I think the GDPR, as well as the other privacy regulations, are kind of forcing that conversation into the forefront.
Yeah, I think one challenge about GDPR is a lot of the language is really focused on more general business, web-based companies, financial companies, where you're acquiring personal information just from your clients. And I think with law firms, we process all sorts of information, especially with productions and stuff like that. And yeah, interpreting what those rules are as they apply to that kind of information, I think, is a bit of a challenge. So,
agreed. So I actually really enjoyed, you alluded to it earlier, the breakout sessions. You know, the two that are the biggest in my mind, you know, they broke out firms by size, and it didn't matter what role you played in the firm. The people that were a part of those firms went into the room and discussed topically either what was discussed in the previous session, or, you know, generally got to collaborate on what each firm was doing. And I took a lot away from that. As you pointed out, it's kind of nice to see where you fit in and where your firm is in terms of your cybersecurity, you know, plan and your progress that you're making. And then also to discuss things that, you know, might be a little more, you know, difficult to tackle. I know a lot of people in those sessions talked about the cost of cybersecurity and the depth at which, you know, it impacts the ability to work and the culture within the firm. And so I enjoyed those conversations. And then alternatively, we all met in similar size firms, but just from an IT perspective. So the technical side of things, and put all of those people in a room and talked more strategically about the technical implementations of security within our firms and the frameworks that we're using and what kind of certifications we might be driving towards. The one thing that I wish I would have gotten in those sessions is I wish we would have been able to blend the large firm and small firm IT. I tend to take a lot away from some of the things that the larger firms are able to do, partly because they, you know, might have the financial ability to do some things that maybe I don't have or smaller firms don't have. And so, you know, I kind of miss that aspect of it. But I think generally the breakout sessions were, you know, by far one of the highlights. Brian, what did you like about the conference?
Well, I think you did a good job, Dean, of illustrating the value of the breakout sessions, as did Jim. So I'll focus on something a little different. You know, Alas is at its heart an insurance company. And there was a lot of conversation about how cyber insurance claims are playing out and why I don't feel comfortable giving specifics. I was really struck by how few claims have really been processed. And it is not unfair to say that the number of actual claims involving a cyber incident over the past 3 years is small enough that we could talk about all of them in the next couple minutes and still have time left. So that was really an interesting thing to me. Like Mark, I really enjoyed the discussion on DLP. You know, data loss prevention is something that I think most firms struggle with how to implement, because so much of the data that we do share is sensitive. So thinking about how we do that is a little bit challenging. One of the things I found that I thought was really interesting is listening to some of the firms explain some of the client pressures they're getting around this. One firm reported that they had a questionnaire from a client where they could not answer no to any more than 4 items, and 6 of the items required DLP to be in place in order to answer yes. So that sort of is a pretty strong message about the requirement for DLP. So I enjoyed that. And you know, I'll add, because it was a social event at times, being able to catch up with some peers, hear some things they were doing, share some stories And that's always a value add, I think, to places like this. So, you know, it was a pretty valuable experience. I think all of us agree, but let me ask the group, would you go again?
Well, this is Jim. I would certainly go again. It's a really fun event. Unlike ILTACON, which is more generally IT and security is part of it, but it's not really the main focus. This is really focused on security and risk management. So I think that's important. It's a small enough group that you can walk away with some contacts and some tips on things to do. And in a way, it's kind of similar for me to the LegalSec Summit, although it's probably not as technical. It's at least in the breakout sessions and the social events, you get kind of the same kind of information. And in a way, it's a little more valuable than some of the other IT stuff I go to, because I think it's really important when you're talking about security and risk management to get the attorney take on it and the firm admin take on it. I think you get that at this event.
Yeah, and this is Dean. I absolutely would go again. I think one of the things that we had talked about as a group is that, you know, being in a last member firm, one of the things that we all must do every few years is to go through what I would call an audit with Alas. And I think that speaks to what you were talking about earlier, Brian, about the claims. I think that, you know, one of the benefits of being an Alas member firm with all the training that they provide and all the resources that are available to you, I think that was construed during the presentation as part of the reason why there were so few claims for cybersecurity data breaches with member firms. But I would absolutely go again, and I would encourage not just the IT side of the house, but the risk management side. If you've got general counsel or associate general counsel that you can, you know, pry away. It's a short conference at 2 days, depending on the travel. It might be three, but well worth the time.
And Brian, this is Mark. I, just like the other two, I would definitely attend. I've attended both of Alas's cybersecurity conferences. What I find interesting is the breadth of diversity of firms that are there represented. I think at this particular conference, there were 138 different firms. And I know some of the very, very large firms were there. And I know there were also some very small firms as well. So getting that different point of view, I think Dean had mentioned this, you know, during the social hours, I would go and talk to different people from the different firms and try to get their perspective on different questions and things that maybe I'm dealing with, or new situations that you read in all your security feeds that you get bombarded with every day. And it's great to hear all their perceptions and perspectives, what's going on. So it's definitely a worthwhile conference, short, easy to get to, usually not a big deal. So yeah, it's good.
Well, it's unanimous. I'd certainly go again, you know, primarily because I get to hang out with cool folks like Jim and Dean and Mark. But I think we all also agree that it's really valuable to have that cross-pollination with lawyers. There are certainly items at that conference that were probably less technical than many of us probably could consume. But being there and being able to watch the lawyer's reaction, or being able to have a lawyer ask a question and gain new insight from how they perceive things, that's invaluable to me. So I would certainly go again. So team, I hopefully we've given everybody a pretty good sense of what it was like to be at the conference, albeit in far less time. Any parting comments anyone wants to make?
Yes, this is Jim McHugh. I just wanted to remind everyone that the LegalSec Summit is coming up, and that is in D.C. at Crystal Marriott, Arlington, Virginia, and that starts on June 11th and that's through June 13th. And we'll actually have a session on DLP and security awareness training, among many other things. So if you're interested in those two topics, those are the ones I'm managing.
Well, thank you, everyone. And thanks very much to Jim, Dean, and Mark for the excellent recap. And thanks for ILTA for giving us a voice.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.